As a follower of Jesus Christ, this is my honest confession. Every day, I mean every day, I get up knowing that I'm loved. Not as I ought to be, but as I am. Every day I know that I'm growing, becoming more like Christ. I know that I am known and understood. I know that God has sympathy and empathy and patience for me. I know that I am never alone. I know that all of my sins are covered. I know that I will never, ever be abandoned. I know what is ever changing, and I know what is never changing. I know what to hold on to and to let go of. I know what to do and what direction to point in. Every single day, I could go on and on and on and tell you that I live a life of singular confidence in God. In myself, not so much. But I want for you to know that you know that you know that you know that you're right with God. We're in a series called Leave No Doubt. I just want people, when they reflect on who we are, to know what we stood for, what we believe, where we're going, what we were all about. I don't want anyone to have any doubt. My children, my wife, my family, my friends, any of you, that I am a fully invested, fully happy follower of Jesus. There are a lot of things I don't know, but there are some things that I know absolutely, positively for sure. And I'm not saying I've always known these things, but I'm standing here today 40 years in. This Wednesday will be my 40th birthday in Christ. Yeah, wow. Thank you. And I have to tell you, I never will forget when I went and told my mother, I said, I've become a Christian. She says, no, you haven't. You already are one. We have a certificate to prove it. I told her I was going to be a pastor, and she was worried this stuff wouldn't stick. When I graduated from Bible college, my father said, son, you need to keep that trade up because this preaching thing might not work out. And then I graduated from seminary, and my father came and said, son, you need to keep that trade up because this preaching stuff may not work out. When I graduated, when I got my doctor's degree, it was too far for my father to go, but on the phone he said, son, you better keep that trade up. This preaching thing may not work out. I said, Daddy, how much longer is it going to take? I mean, I'm all in, right? I really do hurt for people who do not know. Maybe you're here this morning. You just don't know. You're just not sure. And you look at people and say, how do you know things like why you're here? I know why I'm here. I'm here to enjoy God. I'm here to enjoy life. I'm here to help, to bless, to do something, to serve a noble. I know exactly why I'm here. If nothing else, I am here to faithfully love until the day I die the girl I met in the third grade. Amen. To be a good father to Aaron, Lindsay, and Paige. People want to know, where are you going? How do you know why you're here? Where are you going? I know exactly where I'm going. God being my helper, I'm going to invest the rest of my productive life in the gathering and in Nashville and in Franklin and in helping married people and writing books to help inspire and lift people. I know exactly where I'm going. I don't have to spend any of my life sitting down saying, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I'm not belittling that. I know that some of you, that's not an answer you've gotten yet. But the great thing is you can know. I know what matters right now. I know what matters. I know that Friday night, the best place I could have been doing what I will, the apex of the best thing I could be doing is loving those couples and helping and blessing and training and helping them develop life skills that will help them reach their God-given potential. I'm absolutely sure I'm supposed to be here. I don't know how you are. This is honest truth, Paul tells you. Every Sunday morning I get up, it's like Christmas. It is. It's like I get to go over there and I get to help talk. I get to talk people. Talk, 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 talk. I mean, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? Talk for God. Talk to people. Love people. Help people. Man, I am absolutely, positively sure I'm leading you in the right direction. That feels good. I haven't always had that conviction. I know for sure. People ask, how do you know? about what waits beyond. Here's all I know, is that there is an eternity, and for me, when I wake up in heaven, or wherever that is, or whatever it is, it's going to be good. And it's going to be better than my best day, and I have to tell you, God, you better get to working, because I have to tell you, there is nothing better to me than a nice October fall afternoon with a Harley, with my sugar babe on the back, going somewhere to eat barbecue. I'm sorry, that is just, I know you say, well, you easily pleased. Okay, I'm with you. But I have eaten dinner on the Eiffel Tower, the real one, with my wife by my side. I've been to the Louvre and seen the art of the world. I've been a lot of places and experienced a lot of things, and God, I hope you know what you're doing. Amen. I don't talk much about heaven because I don't know much about it, but I just know that when this life is over, there is another life to be lived, and the scriptures tell me that it's better life and it's eternal life, better than anything I could imagine, and I say, bring it on, God, but not yet. Amen. I want to live to be an old fart, don't you? Just aggravate everybody around you. You're too young to be responding to that, sir. But I know there are people who doubt. They just don't get it. Even in the New Testament, the disciples, for example. We think the disciples were like 12, you know, spiritual Green Beret, right? They're God's SEAL Team 6. No, they were Barney Fifes and robes, right? I mean, seriously. There was one guy named Thomas. He had walked with Jesus, seen everything Jesus did, raise the dead, feed the hungry, walk on water, and he still didn't believe. And after the death and resurrection of Christ, when he appears to the 12, Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I see. And so Jesus says, here, Thomas, put your finger here in my hands. Stick your hand into the gaping wound on my side. Feel my body. Feel my real live blood-drenched body organs. And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said a curious thing, because you have seen, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We get an extra blessing for being on this side of the resurrection. We believe. Listen, I believe this stuff. Have you seen? Enough. Yes. I'm absolutely, positively sure, and I want you to know that if my life were to end this week, that I'm absolutely, positively, without doubt, in the presence of God, because I have preached long enough that I should go to heaven just for enduring people like y'all. No. I know why I'm going to heaven, on the merit of my Savior Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. And the question has come to me so often, how can you be so sure? I don't know if this will help, but this is a part of my package. This is part of what has brought me to this place of unshakable confidence. First of all, I'm sure of my relationship with God because of the promise of Scripture. Have you ever been around religious people who say, well, you can't really know. You just do the best you can. Hope you go to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It smells like smoke. Why? Because if you can be religious and uncertain, we got you. You got the worst of both worlds. And yet, listen to what the scriptures say. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God, that's Jesus, does not have life. Now, that's either true or it's not true. Did everybody get that? It ain't kind of true. It ain't 30% true. It's not 80% true. It is all true or it is all not true. Can we agree on that? I believe it is all true. So when I do a checkup from the neck up, where do I relate to God? I don't think about my baptism. I don't think about what even happened 40 years ago in an apartment in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I'm thinking about what beats in my soul right this now. A love and a desire and a passion for Jesus Christ. Amen. End of sentence. Yes, I do. I love him. I love him, love him, love him, love him with all my heart, though I've never seen him. Now, I've been around some people who said they did. I had a buddy one time, so I think I've told this story, who called me. He said, "I just seen Jesus." I said, "Where was he?" He was, "I was shaving in the bathroom. And Jesus appeared to you." "Yes." I thought a minute. I said, "What do you say to a person who's just seen Jesus while they're shaving?" Sounds pretty authoritative to me. The only thing I could think of is, "Did you stop shaving?" He says, why is that important?" I said, "Because if you didn't, he wasn't." I mean, if Jesus appears to you in your bathroom and you still shave, you got indigestion, dude. Can I hear an amen? Now, he's never appeared to me. If he wants to, I'm up for it. I'd probably die of a heart attack. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may epignosko." No. That is the same word in the Greek language, in the Koine Greek, that is used to describe the intimacy between a man and woman in marriage. I would say sex, but I can't say that in church. That you may know by experience that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. Oh, my Lord. What a foundation on which to build a life. Is this good or is it just me? Woohoo! I don't think this is the coffee, man. I mean, how good do I feel for 40 years I've founded my life on this truth? On the promise of Scripture. Man, the Bible, the Word of God that has endured the hatred and the onslaught of people for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's still here, baby. Still here. A little old dinky church in Oklahoma City came up with a Bible application. They give it away free. This is one little dinky church. Are you with me? In Oklahoma, what comes out of Oklahoma City? Wind. One little called YouVersion. I'd recommend it to you. I use it every single day. One dinky little church? They have logged over 4 billion hours of Bible reading on their one little application. What does that tell you? The Scriptures are God's Word, man. It would have died a long time ago. Why am I so sure? The promise of Scripture. He that hath his son hath life. He that hath not son of God hath not life. It's really great to not worry about what. If you're a Catholic, praise God. Are you a Christian? By that I mean, are you a follower of Jesus? I mean, all Baptists need to be saved. All Catholics, all Charismatics, thank God. The Pentecostals, can we talk? Pentecostals need to be saved from themselves. Can I hear an amen? I was going to say just kidding. Not really. Witness of Scripture. How about the witness of history? Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race." I love this word, marked out. I mean, what's the history of our faith? This isn't a fad. This isn't a cult. This isn't something we fabricated. I remember when Paul and I were trying to figure out where we're going to be our 40th anniversary in February. And we're trying to so this guy the other day said, "But today's my 30th wedding anniversary." I said, "Wow, what are you doing?" "So I'm taking her to Shoney's." I said, "Your marriage sucks, dude." My 30th wedding anniversary, we went to Hawaii. My 25th anniversary, we went to Europe. I will never forget going to Paris and looking at all the buildings, and these buildings were hundreds of years old. They have a very different view of history there than we do, amen? They don't tear stuff down and, put up a Johnny Stop, We just don't understand history much in our country. I love history. One thing the history of my faith tells me, for example, why have so many people been willing to die for this simple affirmation, Jesus Christ is Lord? Why are people still being martyred today for just that simple affirmation, Jesus Christ is Lord? What does that tell you? What about the history of redemption? How about the new? How about just the first century Christians? How about the disciples? These people gave up everything for this confession, right? People have been devoting themselves and giving themselves for the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. History is replete with the bravery of men and women who have been martyred on crosses and on garbage heaps simply for the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. The witness of history tells me I'm right. Yeah. But not only the promise of Scripture and the witness of history, how about the continuity, what I call the continuity of story? Now, I was raised hearing this verse every week. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. Sinner. Right? Turn to burn, die or fry while we go to the sky. That's what I heard. What does that really mean? The word sin and fallen short is the idea, is the Greek word harmartia, which means to miss the mark. So let me just ask you this question. Are we today, as the human race, broken? Are we wounded? Do our relationships become very difficult for us? Do we find it hard to give and receive grace? Are we behaving in a way that the New Testament says we would behave? You can answer. Yes. Yeah. I mean, anybody doubt any of this? Does it not confound you that human beings are capable of the highest, most noble sacrifice available to us, martyrdom, at the same time can sink so low to murder, rape, incest, and everything black, dark thing you can imagine? Why hasn't all that we have achieved, all that we have known, helped us discipline ourselves into better human beings? Unless, of course, we're broken deep down in the core of our soul in a way that only God, our Creator, can fix. Does not that continuity of story tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true? You don't need the Bible to see that. Do people behave in a way that the Scriptures promise and predict they would? Yes, they do. And do people change when they come into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes, but ever so slowly. It'd be great if it were, and he's winning. Hey, I'm perfect. Yes. Doesn't work that way, does it? You know why? Because God loves you enough to treat you like a person, not a Frigidaire. If you were a broken machine, we could put in a new part. But you're a human being with a soul. So not only the promise of Scripture, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you doubt your relationship with Jesus Christ today, get it settled. Amen? Amen? I'll take y'all. Come on. The witness of history, the continuity of story. I tell you another reason how I know for sure. The nature of God. Paul was talking to Titus, his young protege, and he says that the gospel of Christ is the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning. The God who does not lie. So here's the nature of God. Not only is God a great creator, can you admit to that? Can we all agree on that? I mean, just look at the world. Wow. You look at it and say, wow. I've been a fan of Tony Hsieh, one of the founders of Zappos, for a long time. And I ordered a book from him, and it came in, and on the front of it, it says, Live in the Wow. I thought, yeah. Man, I wish I'd have thought of that. Actually, Tony Hsieh got it from me. Okay, I'm stealing it from Tony Hsieh, who probably stole it from somebody else. But every day I get up and look, wow! Right? This is the day the Lord has made. We shall be underwhelmed in it. Right? No, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Why not? We live in the greatest country in the freaking world. We're in such a terrible state of economy that you won't be able to get in a restaurant for lunch. Give me a break. It won't even go that down there, do we? Come on. Man, God is good. The nature of God is not to be an awesome creator, but He's a communicator. He has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Isn't that crazy? Not foolish preaching. Dave Seldon is gracious enough to make it so that we can have audio and video podcasts of the service. He does a yeoman's job. And he does it all the way from back over there. I just heard him cough, and I appreciate you not doing that again. And so I watch the video of this every week. God, it is painful. But sir, what? I'll finish the story. Thank you very much. It's not funny. Some of you say, what are they laughing at? You don't need to know. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just suffer the wrath of God for touching one of His anointed. That's all I'm saying. I should know better than to mess with him. But God is a communicator. He uses words. That's why we have a Bible. But has it ever struck you that if God ever starts communicating, He now becomes obligated to communicate accurately and clearly to all generations the same story? God can't give one generation the gospel and not another. Not once He starts. So God is a communicator. And He communicates accurately. The story of the preservation of Scripture, the story of the history of redemption, the story of the history of the church is an amazing, mind-boggling story. One of my fears of going to seminary was to, I just thought, boy, the more I learn about this Bible and God stuff, the less I believe it. The exact opposite was true. Biblical history and textual criticism and taking this apart and how it got put together, how the canon of the Scripture was formed and developed and how we have what we have today. And I stand amazed at God's power. So you take the nature of God and the continuity of story and the witness of history and the promise of Scripture and add to that the self-evidence of truth. We hold these things to be self-evident. That's a gift from God. And in all generations, there are things that we believe that are self-evident. Paul said it in Romans this way, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people without excuse. God has declared Himself, not only in Scripture, but in His self-revelation in nature. He is put in the heart of man. We are restless until we find rest in Him, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. We have a God-shaped hole in our heart. And God has made Himself self-evident, His truth self-evident. I'll be honest with you. I can't process somehow. People who say, I just can't. There are people who are actually intelligent people who will say, believing in God is irrational. Really? Serious? You really believe that? Now, I've met a ton of people who don't believe in God because they have a vested interest not to. By that, I mean their behavior and their lifestyle and their attitudes would be better served if there were no God, right? You know why? Because they want to be God. Sorry. Only one Savior per lifetime. You ain't it. Come down off the cross. Can I hear an amen? Self-evidence of truth. It's for me to ask, where is God? It's like a fish asking, where is water? I mean, God's all around me. Now, I'm not a pantheist. I believe God is a person who exists, has always exists, has the power of existence within him, and he has created this world. He's created us, and he's redeemed us through Jesus Christ, and he has a plan for us in eternity, a plan better than anything we can imagine. And between here and there, he gives us the power to make something of our lives. This is why we call it making marriage fun. You make marriage, right? Two people get together and they make a life together. When you were created, God created you. You know, you're a little kid and you've learned and now you're making of yourself. God has given us the joy of making something of ourselves, right? And he joins us in the making. But if you want to sit on your butt and whine and complain and waste your life, God will let you do that too. The self-evidence of truth and then the confidence of trust. The confidence of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Man, I trust him, and my confidence just grows. The more I trust him, the more confident and joy-filled my life is. I don't think I'm special or strange. I think this is for all of us, right? Don't you think so? Don't you think God wants you to walk in absolute confidence? Now, I'm not saying I have certainty. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know one thing. I have the confidence that whatever happens tomorrow, good or bad, God can work to my good and his glory. I believe that with all of my heart and all of my soul. I know where I was the day I met Jesus Christ. It was in an apartment in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It was in the evening. It was on a Friday evening. And I had WBKO on a black and white TV that I'd bought with $20 worth of graduation money. Billy Graham was on. I hated Billy Graham. I couldn't stand Billy Graham. I loathed Billy Graham. Would you like to know why? Because when he talked, he sounded like he knew what he was talking about. I've been able to dismiss all the religious speakers in my life. Want to be like him? No, thank you. Believe that crap? I don't think so. Somehow he just spoke with a voice of authority and humility all at the same time. I never heard that strange combination. I walked through a doorway, a pagan. I walked back through it, a Christian. How'd that happen? I have no idea. None. Now, I can explain it to you. That God regenerated me through the power of the Holy Spirit and then saved me through the power of his word. And his Holy Spirit came in. That's one of the things we Christians have, by the way. I want to make sure to say this. I didn't say this in the first service, but people say, as Christians, we're trying to be humble. We say, you know what? We're just no different than anybody else, but we're just forgiven. Yeah, we are. We're very different than... If you are not a follower of Jesus today, here's the difference between us and you. And it's not heaven, and it's not forgiveness, as great as that is, okay? But we have, as a gift from God, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, unless you're a charismatic Pentecostal, you're not comfortable with that word, Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. It is God living in his people. And that spirit witnesses with our spirit and helps us recognize the truth, embrace the truth, be the truth, live the truth, enjoy the truth, and stand for the truth. Yay, God. So as a follower of Jesus, I'm not alone. I don't just have my intellect to defend me. I don't just have my emotions to terrorize me. I have the witness of the Holy Spirit. Yay, God. Now, do you understand the Holy Spirit? Me either. But I'm glad I have it. It's that thing in me that lets me know when something's funky. Ever been around something you say, eh, shouldn't be here? Ever heard someone speak and say, turkey. Not going to believe it. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is that thing that says, ooh, don't buy that car that you don't need with money you don't have. But you do it anyway because you're under grace. And for 72 months, you get to make a payment. And the Holy Spirit says every time, every month, told you so, told you so, told you so, told you so. That's not Dave Ramsey. That's the Holy Spirit. Told you so, told you so. Told you so. No, Dave Ramsey is not the Holy Spirit. I'll send him a note today to let him know. So think of this. These are the things that all of us have. The promise of Scripture, the witness of history, the continuity of story, the nature of God, the self-evidence of truth, the confidence of... What more do you want? There is no more. That is it. This is as real as it gets. And I want you to know, I don't want you to have any doubt that I know 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 that I'm good. When I die, I'm going to stand before God in an eternity better than this one. I know that. Do you tell me you know, man? Just tell me you know that the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the Word of God, and all this stuff. I never will forget the first night I experienced this. I was 17. It was a Friday night. I was getting ready to go home. It was late. I was going home in my GTO. I mean, my brother had a GTO. I wished it was my GTO. He had a red GTO, boys and girls. You know what I'm saying? Sure enough. And I had a Impala Super Sport. Oh, yeah! Orange, jacked up in the back. 327. Hooker headers, her shifter. I was bad. Oh, yes, I was bad. We were cruising. Our cars went vroom, 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 vroom. And when we waved at people, we would go vroom, 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 vroom. Did you get it? Vroom, vroom, vroom. That's it. Not the middle finger, the first finger. Vroom. And I was getting ready to go home. And for some reason I don't understand, I turned right into Burger Chef. I couldn't stand Burger Chef. And there was a 63 black Mercury, and by it was standing two young girls, one named Danita, one named Paula. Oh, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I knew I'm going to marry that girl, and I'm going to make her life a living hell for I mean, have you ever had a knowing like that? Tell me you have. Tell me that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is real and that he loves you and he will never leave you, that he is your power and your promise and your joy, and serving him is the smartest, greatest, best thing you will ever do. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I want to take every person one by one and just pour into them this absolute, total confidence in your promises and your word. But I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't save anybody. I wish I could. I've tried too many times. I can't even save myself. I can't save you. I can't save the world. And so, Father, I just lean on you. I trust you. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. Father, I pray for anyone in this room who wants to join me in this prayer. Dear Jesus, right now, here in this moment, October the 2nd, 2011, I ask you to be my God and Savior. I confess to you I am broken. I confess to you my sins. I confess to you my pain. I confess to you my bitterness, betrayal, all the stuff that I carry. I roll it over on you now. And by faith, I ask you to be my God and Savior. That live in me now and prepare me for what's ahead. I'm trusting you. And Father, for all of us, including me, who prayed that prayer, now it's on you. We ask you to be truthful and real and hear. I pray, Father, that you will set people free. that you will give them jobs, that you will bless them financially, that you will bless them relationally, that you'll lift them up, that you will supercharge them. Holy Spirit, live within them. Help them to leave here today with confidence in every step. In Jesus' name, I make this prayer forever and ever and ever. Amen. You're done.